Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're at least going to pray for the salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're also praying for their past, present, future spouses, all the children they have now in the future and their family members, grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members, great-grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members. By faith, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus Christ, please reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding, Lord Jesus, by your stripes we were healed, would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And yes, Father, they'd humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord, being born again from above. And then, Father, get every person into a good Bible-believing teaching church, that then be baptized in water, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're praying for every Christian to become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're praying for every demon-possessed, demonizing, captive person to be set free. And yes, Lord Jesus, all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And your people, Lord Jesus, to receive and to walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree for that, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Also, we want to pray for our nation. We say, God bless America. Father, we're celebrating 250 years. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so good to us. Father, we cry out for that end time revival. Oh, Father, we desperately need repentance, the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Father God. Boys and girls, men and women get saved all over America and coming back to God. We cry out for that, Father God. We cry out for your divine intervention and a mighty move of God. Father, we love and bless your servant Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and his cabinet officials. We pray for their salvation. They would all be born again, spirit-filled believers. And Father, let your hand be upon them. And whether they understand it or not, you would guide them in all their decisions, and they would make their decisions based on the truth of your word and our Constitution, Father God. And we thank you for it by faith. Also, Father God, you've given us great warnings about things happening as far as terrorist attacks. So, Father, we continue to agree for your mighty hedge of protection and angelic protection about our power grid. Father, please protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Father, please protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water. Father, please protect our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. Lord, we agree together that you would allow no person, group, or nation in any way to poison, hack, diminish, destroy, or evil affect any of these resources. And if any person, group, or nation tries to do it, you'll stop them. If necessary, you'll stomp them. And Lord, they won't be able to do it. And we agree for that right now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father God, we pray also for the peace of Jerusalem. We love the Jewish people. Father, bring them into the kingdom of God. Allow them to see, Lord Jesus, that you are their Messiah. We agree with you, Father. They have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Oh, Father, restore that land to them and give that revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to the Trump administration. And Father, if anyone tries to harm the nation Israel or Jewish people in any way, shape, or form, you would stop them. And if they persist in their evil, you would destroy them. And that's according to your word. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, definitely in end times, aren't we? Well, this is a message about what we celebrated last week, Father's Day. And we're going to talk about our Father in heaven. Do you know he's the best father there is? Let's see what the Bible says about our Heavenly Father, Father God. You know, when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 9, the disciples wanted to know how to pray, and so Jesus gave them what we call the model prayer. Let's just agree together, and you pray it with me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, literally the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus says when we pray, we address our prayers to our Heavenly Father. Let's talk about how God, and we know his name was called Jehovah, that he gave some redemptive names of who he was revealed to us in the Old Testament. Let's look at a few of those today. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. He's making that covenant with Abraham, and he's going to reveal us a special name to Abraham of who he was. Here in Genesis 22, we'll start verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seest that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be seen. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? It means the Lord will provide. Just like God provided that lamb as a sacrifice instead of having to sacrifice his son, God has provided his son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That's what the Bible tells us. But you need to understand, Father God wants to be your Jehovah Jireh. He wants to be your provider. I'm even reminded of the New Testament was Paul writing in Philippians 4:19. He says, but my God, that's God the Father, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So Father Jehovah God, as you come into a born-again relationship with Jesus, he becomes your Father. And he wants to be Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Oh, isn't that exciting? Let's look at another redemptive name. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 22. We'll start verse 22. Exodus 15, 22, I'm sorry. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. That's always the thing to do. You don't know what to do. Cry out to God. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he tested them. Now here's the redemptive name in verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I, God, have brought upon the Egyptians, the pagans, the bad guys. Always good guys, bad guys. That's what the Bible teaches. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Ah, there it is. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Do you know God wants to heal you? I read often Psalm 103 talking about God the Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, God the Father wants to do that for you. Do you know he wants to be your healer? And again, we can't help but letting us know that God provided healing through the cross, through Jesus' stripes. Before he, remember, he went to the cross, he went to the whipping post and got whipped. Well, why did he take in those stripes? so that you can be healed. Your healing's been paid for, but I'm telling you, Jehovah God, your Father, is a healer, and he revealed himself as such. Let's go to the next one, just a couple of pages. Exodus chapter 17, we get to see another redemptive name of God. I'll go ahead and we'll read a few verses with that. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Okay, they're going to be the intercessors. Notice this. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now, don't think you have God figured out on everything. Let's continue. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Okay. And Joshua vanquished Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now again, Joshua was a mighty warrior. But the victory came because of those who were on the hill, Moses having his hands up to God. See, there's more about than being a strong military, having intercessors, having people lifting up to God. That can cause your warriors to win in a battle, in a war. Isn't that exciting? So there's more to what happens and who wins and who loses than what you often understand. That was just a little side note. And the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." So God was mad with them. They attacked Israel. They were mean. So God says, get rid of them. God still says that today. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, here it is, Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. There's another passage that says forever. Bad seed. Bad seed. But here's the redemptive name, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. In other words, he's the one that gives us help and gives us victory in the battles of life. And you know we all go through battles in life. Father God wants you to have the victory. And again, it's been purchased with Jesus on the cross. But Father God is the one who gives us victory in the battle. That's how he revealed himself. Let's go to the next one. Judges chapter 6, verse 24, talking about Gideon. Now I'll start verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said to him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So another redemptive covenant name of God is Jehovah Shalom, and hopefully you know what that means. The Lord our peace. Do you want peace? God gives you peace. How about Isaiah 26:3? "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Our Heavenly Father is a God that can give you peace. Shalom, which means well-being in every area of your life, as well as inner tranquility. That comes from God the Father. And of course, you know, Jesus said too, don't want to leave out Jesus. Jesus says in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Father God gives peace, Jesus gives peace. But your Father, he's a God of peace. He wants you to have peace. and only God can give you peace in this crazy world, right? But he does, and he can, if you trust in him. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. So God is pretty magnificent, isn't he? That's why we go to him for our every need, because he's our God. It says, in the days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's Jehovah Tiskenu. He's our righteousness. You know, a lot of times when you're convincing people that they need the Lord, I'm reminded of Isaiah 64, 6. Isaiah lets us know that all our righteousness, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. God has to give you righteousness. He's a God of righteousness. You know, the easiest definition of righteousness is right standing with God. God is righteous, and he expects you to be righteous. And we learn from the New Testament through what Jesus did for us. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. See, righteousness has to be imputed to you, but our Father God is a righteous, holy God. That's why you got to get your sins washed in the blood of Jesus. He's righteous, but he imputes righteousness to his children. Right standing with God, it's found in Father God. One more. How about Jehovah Shammah? It's the last verse in the book of Ezekiel talking about this beautiful city and the gates in the future. And it says it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be called the Lord is there. That's the term Jehovah Shammah. In other words, the God is present. Do you know God is present with you all the time? You can't go anywhere or do anything that God is not aware of everything. You know, so many people don't have that understanding. Now, again, we're talking about Father God, but you know, applies to Jesus and the Holy Spirit too. But let's just look in the Old Testament, the Old Testament revelation. David got this revelation and it just blew him away. And it'll probably blow you away in Psalms chapter 139. Here's what David, he discovered by revelation that God was omnipresent, which means he's everywhere all the time. Notice here, Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. David got it. God was watching him every moment of every day. He knew when David stood up. He knew when David sat down. Let's continue. Verse 3. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows the words you speak. God knows the thoughts you think. That sounds like a pretty personal, intimate God. God is big. We're talking about God the Father. He is watching you every moment of every day. He takes notice of you. And not just what you're doing, what you're speaking, what you're thinking. So see, that makes that verse in 2 Corinthians 10 make a lot of sense. When you're talking about spiritual warfare, where the battle is for the mind. Remember 2 Corinthians 10:3? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, see, the battle's for our mind. And, you know, God wants to put His thoughts in our mind and speak to us, and He does. And one of the major ways He speaks to us is through the Word, the Bible, letting us know what's right and wrong, what He expects of us. But also there's the devil. And the devil tempts us in the mind also. And we have to have discernment. And we have to learn how to bring those thoughts captive to obedience to Jesus Christ and discern between God's voice and the devil's voice, and yes, even our own fallen flesh. But He got the revelation. God, You're with me all the time, and You take notice of everything. And again, that's the theological understanding of the omnipresence of God. He's everywhere, all the time, and knows everything that's going on. Boy, our God is big. But, you know, that's good to know. Now, I want to, again, kind of move to a New Testament scripture when we're talking about the Lord is present. Just let you know that Jesus gave us this understanding and revelation through the book of Hebrews chapter 13. We'll start verse 5. Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, that's good. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, that's a wonderful truth. Amen. Father God doesn't forsake us. Jesus doesn't forsake us. Once we become a child of God, we don't have to fear man. We just have to fear God and honor Him. And He'll take care of us. But He said He'd never, but He's always present. That just makes sense, doesn't it? But He's not going to leave you. And He promises He won't leave you. We should just love Him more because of that revelation, right? And now let's just go again to the New Testament. You know, Jesus gave us that wonderful prayer that begins, Our Father. In other words, we addressed our prayers to Father God, coming to Him in Jesus' name, again, with the power and help of the Holy Spirit. Trinity's involved in everything, okay? But let's go to a familiar passage probably to you. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus says, you believe in God. God the Father, we're talking about Him, believe also in me. In my Father's house. Oh, do you know heaven's called the Father's house? Your heavenly Father? Okay. Heaven is my, Jesus says, my Father's house. Okay. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. That's us, the born again believers. That's you, right? Unto myself, Jesus, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Oh, I'm so glad Thomas said that. Here's a very powerful verse in the Bible. There's so much theology and truth and revelation about there's only one way to God, and it's only through Jesus, and it's found here with the words of Jesus, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But again, we're talking about the Father, right? No man cometh unto the Father, that's Heavenly Father, Jehovah God, but by me. Oh, well, that makes sense. See, there's people out there that acting like God is their Father, but they've never accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord. No, God is their creator. God loves them, absolutely. but he's not your papa. He's not your father until you admit that Jesus, God's son, died on the cross for your sins and rose again and shed his blood that you could have forgiveness and have access to God, and he would become your father. So God is not your father just by being born into this world. He's your creator. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. And that's why Jesus did everything he did for us in his life and his death and burial and resurrection. But the thing is, you can't get to Heavenly Father, Jesus says, except through him. Boy, that's just good theology. Do you understand that? See, there's people that talk like they know God and he's their father, but they've never repented of their sins. They've never trusted Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And the Bible makes it clear, no, God's not their father. Their sin has alienated them from God. And only the blood of Jesus does the Father accept to have your sins forgiven and to enter into a right relationship with our Father. It's only through Jesus. So you have no access to the Father except through Jesus. And once you receive Jesus, God, Heavenly Father, is your Papa. He is your Father God. Yeehaw! That is very good news, isn't it? So our wonderful Heavenly Father lets us know in the New Testament, you have no access to me except you trust in my Son Jesus and receive him as your Savior and Lord. Well, we're winding it down, but I want to mention a couple verses in John 17. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross and die, and he's talking to his Heavenly Father, just like we're supposed to talk to Father God. Notice John 17. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Father God gave that to Jesus. He's telling us this in the prayer, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou, Father God, has given him. Do you know believers are love gifts from Father God to his Son Jesus? That kind of blows you away, doesn't it? Aren't you glad you're a born-again believer and have trusted in Jesus? And Father God, who is so wonderful and awesome, is your Father? And you're a love gift to Jesus by becoming a Christian. Oh, this is great. But I've got to stop here. But you got to be a Christian. All these things about Father God? True, but not for you unless you give your heart to Jesus. So let's do some business with Jesus. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I need Jesus to be my Savior. I believe, Father, Jesus died for my sins and rose again. I understand it's only his blood that washes away my sins. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Jesus, forgive me all my sins. I repent. Please come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Savior and Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And thank you, Father God, that you're now my Father. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.